Last week, we kicked off a series called The Gap. And to better understand a little bit about what this series is about, where we're going, I want you to check out this video. All right, so we're in a series called The Gap. And here's the whole idea is that sometimes, students, there's a gap, what you saw on the video, between where we are or where you are and who God wants us to become. For example, sometimes we think in our minds or in our lives, right, we think that in order to worship God, we have to be in a certain place. We have to be here at M12, or we have to be at church on a Sunday. But and what I want to get you to understand and challenge you to understand is rather than worship being about a place, it's about a lifestyle that you and I live. It's not about where we are or the place that we find ourselves in, but it's about a lifestyle that we live. It's about who, right? Who you and I are becoming. And so if you're taking notes, you guys have a bulletin on your chairs. If you want to take notes, you can. That's what they're for. But the bottom line of this series is this. Worship is not about where you are, but about who you are becoming. Let me say it again. Worship is not about where you are, but it is about who you are becoming. Now, reality is a lot of times when we think about worship, we think about singing. We think that worship is the time when we come up front and some of us, we raise our hands or we sing or we dance. Or some of us, rudely enough, we come in up here and we talk, which is very disrespectful to God and very disrespectful to the band. But we think that's what worship is. And that is, don't get me wrong, that is a form of worship. But worship is so much more than just singing. It's so much more than a band. It's so much more than loud music, right? That's a form, but it's more than that. For example, you guys, some of you, if you were here last week, and if you weren't, then I encourage you to do this. We took what's called a worship style quiz. And for me, when I take the worship style quiz, now how many of you, just a show of hands, you guys took it last week? Here's why I wanted you to take that, because I wanted you to walk away from M12 having a better understanding about a way that God has created you to connect with Him, based on your passions, based on your likes, based on who you are, your personality. That's a way, hopefully you guys figured it out. Now, when I took it, I was a mix of a celebrator, right, because I love large crowds of music. Right? I love that. I love singing loud, even if it doesn't sound good. It probably doesn't, right? And I'm a mix of celebrator and reflector, because I also love times where it's just me and the Lord and my Bible. And I'm just hanging out with God. I've got my Bible open, ready to listen to Him, ready for Him to tell me something, ready for Him to show me something. And so I want to have a little fun. How many of you guys, when you took your quiz, you were a celebrator? Anybody? Celebrators? Okay. What about those of you who were a naturalist? Naturalist. You guys love nature. That's cool. How about an artist? Any artists in the room? Hey, just a little snippet about me. I can't even draw a stick figure. Pretty bad at that, right? How about a reflector? Reflector, anybody kind of a reflector? All right, I hear you. Or I see you. How about a thinker? Anybody just deep thinkers? Yeah? What about servant? Anybody a servant in the room? Servants? Now, here's the deal. Those of you that are servants, you probably can't wait until next week when you get to do this, because you know, right? You know that these boxes, that you're spending your time serving other children. And so for you servants, you got to lead the way on this, man. You got to lead the way and bring in your supplies. And so it's cool for us to have the opportunity, right, to be able to learn things like that, to be able to learn how we connect to God, how God designed us and wired us, right, to connect with Him spiritually and that kind of thing. But remember that worship is not just singing and it's not just music, but it can be other things too. For example, prayer is a form of worship. When you spend time praying, you are worshiping God, Reading the Bible is a form of worship. When you spend time reading the Bible, you are worshiping God. When you journal your thoughts, some of you guys, maybe definitely you reflectors, you thinkers, you love to journal, you love to write. And so when you journal your thoughts to God, when you write down your thoughts to God, man, that is a form of worship. That is a form of worship. Listening to someone teach like you are right now, that's a form of worship. Every one of you right now, you are worshiping God. Now, if you're not listening and you're talking to people, then you're not worshiping God and you're being disrespectful. But for those of you that are listening and engaged, then you are worshiping God. Because listening to a message from the Bible is a form of worship. Now, as we read together last week, we read in Romans 12. So I want everyone, we're going to go back to that. If you have a Bible underneath you or in front of you, I want you to turn open to page number 1137. Romans chapter 12, page 1137. We are simply going to read two verses, and then we're going to wrap it up. It's going to be good. I'm excited. So last week, if you were with us, or if you weren't, then I'm going to bring you into where we went. Last week, we read verse 1 of chapter 12. I'm going to read that to us, so I want you to listen and pay attention. The Bible says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, to remind us of what the writer of Romans, the Apostle Paul, is doing, is he is first giving us the why of worship. He's telling you and I, this is why we worship. This is why worship is important. And this is what he says. He says, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. Now, sometimes we hear the word mercy, and I don't know that we fully understand it. Let me tell you what it is. Mercy is not getting what we all deserve. So we all deserve death. Because of our sin, because of the mistakes that we make. But God, who is rich in mercy, another passage of the Bible says God is rich in mercy. And so because God is rich in mercy, in view of God's mercy, in view of not getting what you and I truly do deserve, right? We should worship God. And then what Paul does is he says, this is how. He gives us two hows, and he says, your bodies, you are to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In other words, that we worship God with our physical bodies. That we are worship to God. That our physical bodies are worship to God. That when we come to M12 and we sing to Him and we raise our arms in honor of who God is, in honor of how merciful God is, right? That we worship Him with our physical bodies. In other words, we worship God outwardly. We worship God outwardly. We worship God with the way we live. We worship God with the way that we treat people. You servants in here, man, you get it. You get it because the Bible says to be all about other people, to serve other people, to put other people above yourself, other people in front of you, other people before you. So if you're a servant, if that's your style, you get this. It doesn't mean you're perfect at it because no one is, but you get it. And so the Bible's saying we are to worship God outwardly. And then Paul answers a second way that we're to worship. And this is what he says. He says, do not conform, Romans 12:2, read it in the text. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul says, do not conform. In other words, students, the Apostle Paul is saying, you do not have to do what the world does. You do not have to do what the world tells you to do. You don't have to conform to the ways that the world thinks, the ways that the world speaks, the ways that the world treats other people. Rather, you You don't have to conform to that. And instead of conforming to that, he says this, be transformed. In other words, be changed, be made new, be different, be unlike other people in your school or in your family or people that you do life with. Paul is saying, you don't have to conform to the world, but instead be transformed, be changed by how? The renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? How do we renew our mind? I'll tell you the best way. The Bible. The best way for you and I to renew our mind is through Scripture. And Paul says, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, reading the Bible, engaging the Bible, allowing the Bible to be what guides you and leads you in your life. Because what does he say? He says, then once you renew your mind and don't conform to the world, then, he says, you will be able, right? You will be able to test and you will be able to approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, in other words, if we allow the Bible to renew our mind, to refocus us, to reset what matters in life, then we will be able to test and approve God's will. How many of you have ever asked the question, what is God's will? Has anybody ever asked that question? I've asked that question. I've often wondered that question. Well, what does the Bible say? That when we renew our mind, we will be able to test and approve. We will be able to know what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what is Paul saying? He's saying not only do we worship God outwardly, but we worship God inwardly. We worship God inwardly. It's not just an outward expression, and this is going to come up on the screen, but we also worship God inwardly, inside, not just on the outside, but on the inside. And the best way to worship God inwardly is through the Word. Now, when I was your age, I remember this so clearly. I allowed my Bible to sit in the very same place from Sunday to Sunday. Now, I grew up in a church where I went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. And usually when I went to youth group on Wednesday, I just didn't even bring a Bible, right? But on Sunday, I would always bring my Bible. And I was so proud of my Bible because my Bible, I had a Bible case. You guys ever seen those Bible cases? And I'm just carrying my Bible. I'm feeling good about my Bible. It's got my name on the front, you know, and I'm feeling good. I'm in this Southern Baptist church. And that was just the thing to do, man. You got to get a Bible case. You got to bring your Bible. But here's what would happen is when I would get home from church, I would put my Bible on the ironing board in the laundry room. And the next time that I would pick up my Bible was on Sunday morning. My Bible would sit in the same place from Sunday to Sunday, from Sunday to Sunday. And yes, I would get in trouble for it being on the ironing board, but that's just where I put it. That's just where it needed to be. It needed to be on the ironing board because that way it didn't get lost and I would know where it was and I would always know where to find it. And so when Sunday hit, I would have my Bible. And the thing is, I didn't understand how important the Bible was. I didn't read it. I didn't read the Bible. And as I did some research, there was research done of three main reasons why people don't read the Bible. Tell me if maybe you can relate to one of these reasons. I know that I can. One was this: I don't know where to start in the Bible. I mean, the Bible is just this big, thick book, and I have no idea where do I start in the Bible because it's full of words that are long and I can't spell them, nor can I pronounce them correctly, and names that I would never, ever want. And, you know, it's just full of things that are hard to understand, and I don't know where to start. And so, and this one, guys, this one's tough. And a lot of times what I do is I will say this to God. I will say, God, give me a desire to read your word. When's the last time that maybe you said that? Because I'm telling you, any time you choose to engage in God's word, it's going to help you. It's going to change you. It's going to guide you. It's going to lead you. It's going to help you, right? So the first one is, I don't have enough, or the first one is, I don't know where to start. Second one is, I don't have enough time. Anybody ever feel like you just don't have enough time to open the Bible? It's just, I got homework, and I got extracurricular activities, and I got to go to the football game, and I got to go to see the movie, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. I hear you. I mean, I got to do my homework, right? Here's the key, though. Think about this. We make time for things that are important. We make time for things that are important. In my own personal life, I make time to watch TV shows that I like to watch. I TiVo them so I don't have to watch the commercials, right? TiVo is the greatest invention ever. But I make time to do things that I really, really, really want to do. Let me back up. A great place to start in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a great place to start. So if you're looking for a place to start, start in the book of Proverbs. Secondly, when you don't have enough time, oftentimes it's because you don't have the desire. Right there with you. Sometimes I don't want to read the Bible. Sometimes I want to do other things. And so that's when I say, God, you got to give me a desire. Thirdly is this, I don't see how it connects to my life. You guys ever think that? You think, this just doesn't connect. I just don't get what this means for me. I'm with you. Sometimes the Bible doesn't connect. But let me tell you what happened in my life just today. Just this morning. So I wake up this morning, and some of you, maybe you can relate to this, but I woke up this morning, I don't know why, but I just had some worry going on in my life, in my mind, in my heart. I was worried about some things. I had some fear. You know, some fear that I was dealing with. Anybody ever deal with some worry or some fear? You kind of worried about things. So that's where I was this morning. And I took that to God. I didn't know where else to take it. I just said, God, you know, this is what's going on. You already know what's going on, but this is what's up. I've got some fear. I got some worry. And let me tell you, in three different Bible passages, this was the message that God gave to me today. The first Bible passage that I opened up was a passage in Luke, and this is what it said. Do not worry. Do not worry. And then he said, consider the birds of the air, how they have a place to live, they have food, and your life is more important than birds. And the Bible says that. We're more important than birds. Cool. But it said, do not worry. And then my devotion took me to a passage in the Old Testament. And this is what it said. God goes before you. He is with you. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Remember what I was dealing with, fear and worry. Do not worry. God goes with you. God is with you. And thirdly, the very next passage said this. Take every captive, or take every thought captive according to Jesus Christ. In other words, when you have fear, when you have worry, when you have thoughts that don't line up with what the Bible says, dismiss it. And so just today, that's what God showed me today. Students, the Bible can always connect to you. It can. It has the power to do that because it's the Bible. It's the living, breathing, active Word of God. And anytime you choose, whether it's once a month, once a week, it doesn't matter. Anytime you choose to open the Bible, it has the power to change your life. So not only do we worship God hourly, but what do we do with this? Well, I want to encourage you and challenge you to dig in and learn to read the Bible. Now, this is what we're going to do. I want to teach you guys something very quickly so that you can then go to your small groups. How many of you, when you were younger, your parents threatened to wash your mouth out with soap? You guys with me on that? Didn't you hate hearing that? Come on, man. I mean, that's like the worst thing ever. Now, let me ask you this. Did any of your parents follow through with it? Yeah. I hear you. So listen up. And then we're going to wrap it up tonight. There are so many ways to read the Bible. I want you to know that. There's so many ways to read the Bible. There's no wrong way. There's no right way. Okay? But I want to teach you one quick method, and it is the acrostic of SOAP. So from now on, when you go and wash your hands with soap, maybe you'll think about reading the Bible. I don't know. Okay? And this is what's cool. Tonight, when you go to your small group, you guys, you're going to actually experience this together tonight. You're going to experience what it's like to learn together how to read the Bible. So the first one is this. The SOAP method is Scripture. You start with a passage of Scripture. It can be long, it can be short, it can be one verse, it can be three verses. It doesn't matter. You start with Scripture. And so you read a section or a verse of Scripture, right? Then the second thing is observation. How many of you guys, you learn this in school. You ask the who, what, when, where, how questions, you know what I'm saying? You observe in the Scripture what is going on. Well, who is he talking to? Why is he saying it? What's going on? Where are they? What are they doing? What is he telling them to do, right? So you observe. You just read the same passage, and then you observe what is happening in the passage. You're going to do this tonight. Thirdly is application. Application is when you look at the same passage of Scripture for the third time, and you ask yourself, is there a lesson that I can learn from what's being said in this passage? Is there a lesson that I can learn? Is there something that I need to do because of what this passage is saying? And fourthly is prayer. You pray and you ask God. So this is what it looked like this morning. Today, I read Scripture. I observed what God was saying. I asked God to help me not to worry, and instead of worrying, to trust that he goes with me, he goes before me, he goes beside me, he is with me. And then I prayed. And I said, God, when worry comes my way, help me to know I don't have to worry. I don't have to have fear because you are with me. And sometimes what we do is we try to learn too much. We try to apply too much. What I would tell you is when you read the Bible, however you read, whenever you read, that you don't try to do too much, but you just pick one thing. Just pick one idea that you're saying, man, today I'm going to work on this. Or for your small groups, for the rest of this week until next Wednesday, let's work on this one thing. Let's just work on this. Let's work on trying to apply this. Let's work on learning this. Let's work on living this way. And then what happens in that moment? You take the Bible and you live it out. And that's why we have the Bible, so that we can worship God inwardly. Now tonight, as you go to your small groups, I want to encourage you to do something. Sometimes you guys go to your groups, you don't take them seriously, you goof off, you mess around, you play around, you make fun of people, you talk over your leaders, you're disrespectful, you are defiant. Could you just change the game tonight on that? Could you put some time into this tonight and really see what it feels like not to make excuses about the Bible, but to actually let the Bible change you. It's really cool. Let's pray. God, you're good. We love you. We thank you, God, that you allow us to worship you inwardly. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that comes in your word. And we pray that you would help us to worship you inwardly through the word. In Jesus' name we pray.